This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour two of USA Prepares. I'm Kathy, and I have Sharon with me. We are talking about what to do with all the produce that you have in the garden. Bounty, I guess you could say. One of the things I would recommend is to go through your freezer and your pantry right now and see where your gaps are. You may think you have enough supplies, but you may go back and go, oh, I'm totally out of pepper, or I'm low on salt, or, you know, I used up all my whatever in the freezer that you thought you had. And it's not just for produce. It's just what you cook with, flour, your basic items that you would use. Do you have enough yeast and flour and salt and butter for all your recipes? So I would recommend doing that and taking a few minutes. And I know for me, it's probably for Sharon too, this is such a busy time of the year. I've had people say, oh, can we stop over? Or, you know, can you look this up for me? And I'm really busy trying to get everything harvested and taken care of before I lose it. And I did lose a few things. I planted radishes, totally forgot about them. By the time I got to them, I just had to pull them and pitch them. They were all dried up. I just forgot. They were kind of buried among some other things. So it's not a big thing, but if you don't stay on top of what you have in your garden that's ripening, then you miss the cucumbers or you miss the tomatoes get too ripe. So I just wanted to say that. So for me, this is a busy time, probably till I get into end of September, and then it lightens up, but I'm using the canning and the dehydrating. But we did want to talk about apples, Sharon, and I know you and I have talked about applesauce. One of the ways that I've made it, I used to do it the hard way and peel it until I realized my friend showed me long time ago. I get apples. A lot of times they get seconds. We used to have apple trees when I was younger at my dad's house. We had four apple trees. So I had so many apples, I didn't know what to do with it. So I would can applesauce or freeze it. Now we don't have those anymore. So I'll go to the one orchard. I wait till the apples are coming in real plentiful, and then I will buy the seconds. So I'll get a big stock pot, probably my 16-quart stock pot, and I'll just rinse the apples. All I do is I cut them in quarters, and I put a couple inches of water at the bottom, maybe two or three, just you don't want them to burn. And I just cut them in quarters or big chunks. I throw them in the pot, and I simmer it till they're mushy. And all the skins, you can see when you go to, like, stir it, you want them to be like, when you put a fork in them, you want it to be where they just fall apart and come away from the skin. You don't want them to be hard because that's going to make your applesauce too hard to work with. But I would say you'd probably simmer them, I'm just going to guess, probably about 40 minutes, maybe 50 minutes. It might not even be that long, just depending on the size of your pot and your stove. And then you get a food mill, and it's a little stand, and it has a it looks like the bottom of like a pointy ice cream cone on the bottom, and it's got little holes in it, and it's got like a, you know how you have like the mortar and pestle, you've got the little part that goes in, and you move that around, and it gets all, you put your apples in there and you move it around in a circle, and it squishes all the apples, and it gets the apples to go into like a pan, and all your skins stay in the mill. And then you just take those out, the apple skins out, and you compost them. And then you do some more until you fill all of it up. Now, when mine is still warm, I add a little bit of cinnamon, and depending on the type of apples, just a little bit of sugar, not much at all. And then I let it cool, unless I'm going to can them. I let it cool, and then I put them in freezer containers. But after making your own homemade applesauce, the other applesauce just pales in comparison. So I don't know if you do anything different with yours, Sharon.
Yeah, actually, I've never used that kind of mill thing. I had one of those round ones that looks like a kettle with a bottom, and you ran a little hand thing around top. But then I ended up getting a regular food mill that you have a hopper on the top, and then you turn the crank on this side. You could look at Back to Basics food mill to get an idea of what it looks like. I'm not extremely good at describing it. That saves a ton of time. And then my husband showed me how on the Back to Basics food mill you can put a drill motor on it and make it go way faster, which I'd never done until a year ago. But, yes, homemade applesauce is so much better. And I, too, just cook it like that. Although I have I take the rack from my pressure canner and put it on the bottom of a really large kettle, and I fill it up. And then that way it doesn't scorch on the bottom. I don't have to worry about stirring it so much. And I put just a little bit of water in. And then I have found if you keep the lid on it and just take it off to stir it occasionally, that it steams it and cooks it a little quicker. So that's how I do it. But I used to put up a lot of applesauce because my kids loved it. But now our kids are all grown. We don't eat it too often, but it's really nice to make fresh sometimes or just have on hand for now my grandkids. So apples are amazing. Around here, people have apple trees. I used to get all my apples free for processing. Another thing that my mom used to do is just slice up the apples and put them in a bag, and she pulled them out later to make apple pie filling. But you can actually make the whole mix in an apple filling, you know, like your sugar and whatever you use for thickener and stuff, and then stick it in a baggie and just freeze it that way, lay them flat. And then you can just pull it out and dump it into a crust and cook it, so that goes quicker. I personally, because I try to save my freezer space because I freeze so many things, I like to can my own apple filling. But that is a little more complicated, not terribly, but it does take a little more time. So those are all ideas. Just even dehydrating apple straight can make a really nice apple pie. You cook it down real slow. My mom had stored some dehydrated apples for the Y2K thing, and when I went up there, I made apple pies from them, and they were really good. It was a super rich taste of apple, really, really tasty. So I've actually just dehydrated some apples just for down the road, you know, for that kind of thing. I'm going to throw something in that has nothing to do with people food, but On the commercial, they're talking about a certain type of dog food. And I was going to say I would highly recommend people have at least another extra bag of dog food all the time and keep that on hand. During this whole COVID outbreak, we went to get some dog food, and they were almost completely out. In fact, we got, like, the last bag at Costco. And everybody and their brother was almost out of dog food, or they wanted a ton of money for it. So I would say it would really pay for you at least keep an extra bag of dog food on hand so that you don't run out, especially if you have a bigger dog. And often, as you know, if you change a dog's diet up real fast, you end up with diarrhea and all kinds of unpleasant problems. So they're happier kept on a pretty basic, usual diet, whatever you normally feed them. And most of our dogs aren't used to living on scraps like they used to do way back before they had dog food. So I would highly recommend just, you know, get in a bag or two, whatever you think you can keep stored right now, so that you don't get caught without dog food, and then it'll save you a little money too. But most of us can't put up like a year's worth of dog food. It takes up way too much space, you know. But that's just another thing. But apples, back to the apples, they're a good thing to be getting right now. They really are. And they could make life so much more nicer too, to have just like a nice, you know, apple cobbler or fresh apple, dried apple slices to munch on. Or I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff with apple. You can make apple cake. I mean, applesauce bread. I used to make an applesauce kind of a bread cake type, thick and a little denser, and the kids used to love to eat it, and it's nutritious. So I'm sure you found all kinds of recipes using apples like me. But they're a good thing, and pretty much everybody can do that. I mean, you can even dehydrate them in your oven on trays, real low temperature. So anybody that has any normal, like a stove or oven, can do this.
And what about apple butter is another one you can do in your crock pot.
Yeah,
if you have a lot of
cinnamon apple. Oh, I'm sorry. I actually made a cinnamon apple jam that was delicious.
Mm, that sounds good, too.
It was,
and
I made apple butter in my crock pot. Yeah.
And right now, where I live, we get apples from Michigan, and obviously we have a lot right here, but they're so fresh, and they last a long time. I mean, mm-hmm. I wouldn't keep them forever, but even just use that as your produce right now if it's cheaper, instead of trying to buy, like, the expensive peaches. But the apple butter, the applesauce, some people like apple jam. I know there's other things. Some people make apple cider vinegar. I've never done that. But if you had a bountiful crop or you have apple trees, that would be something that you could look into. And then a lot of times for me, I'll add like some apple slices, especially if it's like a tart one. I'll put it on my salad. I'll just kind of slice them up and, you know, put them on your salad and just it gives you like more nutrients or just a little change up. So that's my favorite is the apple butter and the applesauce. And just the mm-hmm. fresh apples, but there's a lot you can do. I mean, apples are normally pretty inexpensive, and there's such a variety of those too. That but that's probably all I do with the apples.
Well, depending where you live, sometimes people have apple trees. You know, like
mm-hmm.
we have a lot of apple trees around our area, not right where we're at, but in town. And I used to get lots of apples for free. Now, currently, my daughter and son-in-law have apple trees, really nice ones, so I can get them there. But I used to go to people and say, ask them if I could pick their apples. And I would say, I'd bring them a pie or something. And, you know, usually they didn't care if I said, well, I'll make you a pie. You know, most people like to get an apple pie. And then I made sure I cleaned up the area really well. We didn't leave broken branches. We tried to be respectful of the trees. And if they had any downed up apples, we'd ask them if they wanted us to grab them up. And a lot of times I'd actually take them because we always had chickens and we had pigs for a while and we had horses. So I would just take them home and throw them out to the animals, the extras. But if not, one couple wanted us to drop them in the corner of their yard so they didn't, you know, look so messy. So, you know, if you're respectful, you get your reputation, you can get a lot of free stuff, and a lot of people don't want the dead fruit on the ground, and they don't want to have to go pick it up, so they're happy to let you pick their stuff. Most people are. I mean, you got kind of a people that are a little worried sometimes, they won't let you, but if, you know, you come across nice, responsible, a lot of team people are happy to have that. I was going to bring some other little random thought that I was thinking on the break. In the book Tightwad Gazette, she mentioned what she calls a squeamish factor. So people say, oh, I would never buy used sheets. She says, oh, so when you go to the hotel, you bring your own bedding. And so people have that sometimes idea when it comes to like buying a crock pot or some used equipment. And honestly, a good cleaning makes it perfectly fine. And you can save a lot of money. You don't have to buy brand new. In fact, a lot of the older crock pots are made much better than the new ones. And same with a lot of the other equipment. So you have to kind of check out that, what I call the squeamish factor. It's like, it doesn't hurt that it's used. It really doesn't. You know, hardly anything doesn't matter. I mean, I would not buy used underwear or a few things like that. But, you know, as far as various kitchen equipment, you can save a fortune between garage sales and thrift stores. And, you know, you can even put an ad in, like on Craigslist, wanted, whatever, and people will give them to you. Or you just, if you know people, you can ask if they know anybody who has one of these they want to get rid of. And so mm-hmm. connections can save you a ton of money by that.
Well, Sharon, we're going into a break. I'll pick that up when we get back, okay?
Okay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
No whining, only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Yeah, Sharon, we were talking about the squeamish factor. And I think that if people realize some of the deals you can get by getting things that other people don't want, I've gone to garage sales, estate sales, and auctions, and I've literally found things that were brand new. They were still in the wrapper, never used. But one example, and it's, I had a set of sheets here, and they kept popping off the corner of the mattress. And I was sitting there thinking about it, like, okay, they're a little too big for our mattress. And these were fairly new, so all I did was on the corners where you have the seam where it goes down, I took a half an inch seam. It almost looked like a dart. I started wider, and then I went all the way down, like, to a point so it would be fitted down to where the seam ended. And I did it on each of the corners, and the next time I changed the sheets, it fit perfectly. So rather than get rid of the set of sheets, which most people probably would have done, they'd have said, oh, they don't fit. Then they got rid of them. And what I do, and it's kind of a tedious thing, but when I get like a set of sheets, I'll stitch all the way around the fitted sheet and all the way around the flat sheet. And I reinforce like the corners, because if that starts coming undone and starts getting raveled, it's much harder to fix. And if you look a lot of the stitches now, they are so loose, and a lot of them, sometimes they're like a chain stitch, or they use a bigger stitch so they can go faster. I'll just make sure I reinforce the parts that are have a little more stress on them. So it's just something that I was tied in with what you were saying. And the other thing I wanted to mention, it made me think about it during the commercial, was they were talking about, like, insects and pests. Well, right now, be aware that, like, especially like the bees and the wasps, they're more aggressive this time of year. So if you're out, just be really careful that you don't run into one of their nests or you don't, like, bother them, because they just get aggressive this time of year. I believe that they're getting ready to nest or whatever, but I've gotten stung before this time of year where typically they don't bother you. You can just be out there picking your raspberries or strawberries or whatever, and they just leave you alone. But I have gotten stung a few times by the bees and the wasps this time of year.
Yeah, another thing you might consider is mice tend to want to move in the house. We've been very fortunate so far. Our house is pretty tight, but some places aren't. I haven't tried it because, like I said, we haven't had to deal with it, but I've heard they don't like peppermint, and peppermint's not obnoxious to most of us. So it's something, but also just having traps and checking for any, you know, holes where your pipes come through or anything like that. You can put steel wool in it, and it keeps them out. But, yeah, just kind of be aware. If you get one, you know, it's annoying, but if you get a whole bunch, start moving in because they kind of seem to invite others, it could be a real problem. So something to consider about. You know, I was wondering if we wanted to jump to a little bit about setting up a garden for next year and then what we do to bed down our garden. Is
sure.
that something
sure,
you want to
do discuss? That, yep.
Okay, well, I think more people are going to want to garden next spring. And you can always take just raw ground and try to till it up and work with it. But I believe it would make it a lot better if you put like a compost over it and maybe pieces of cardboard, so it'll be breaking down and be a lot softer to work with. Some people have great soil. We have extremely clay soil. We're up in the mountains and we have lots of rocks, okay? And so for us, if we let that dry up, it's just like concrete. But if you keep it moist and let the worms work all through the winter, then it's not too bad to dig up, and you can work with it. And so you had talked about getting a bunch of free leaves from town and putting them on the ground, and then I would say that would be a great idea, and you need to weight it down, or you can just put cardboard on the ground if nothing else, and you can get cardboard everywhere. But I would think the best way, because we might be doing this to see if we want to expand our garden next year, is getting a bunch of free leaves and then putting cardboard on top to keep them weighted down, and just use whatever you have, rocks or some old boards or whatever, to keep it from blowing away till it settles. And that way next spring it'll be a lot easier to till up. You could actually till it up this fall, but I don't know if most people are going to do that. But you could set yourself a big area in case you need to or want to grow a garden next year. It would make it a lot easier. And our local, I guess it's not the dump, it's the people who pick up the leaves. You can go get the leaves free from them, or you can just pick up bags of leaves along the road. So,
Sharon, we're going
to
in at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, okay.
Be gotcha. Right back.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Mexican security and migration officials on Sunday morning blocked the passage of about 400 migrants heading to the United States, detaining several people days after it set off from southern Mexico for the United States. Mexican President Obrador said he wanted undocumented migrants to stay in southern Mexico. A high-level meeting between U.S. and Mexican officials will take place on Thursday. The United States Coast Guard announced Monday it's investigating almost 350 reports of oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico since Hurricane Ida. The Coast Guard has since established a pollution response team in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Category 4 storm made landfall on August 29th in a key oil industry staging area. Roughly 88% of offshore oil production in the region was closed, and over 100 platforms were still not being used on Monday due to the storm. Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Supreme Court has ruled a Texas heartbeat law, which prohibits abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, can go forward as it is litigated. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton over the weekend on Newsmax says there is nothing in the Constitution that takes away the state's rights to regulate abortion, so states should be able to make their own rules and regulations on the procedure.
Well, look, in 1972, the left was able to just create a new constitutional right, supposedly. They were very bold in doing that. There was no precedent, as you earlier said, and we've been in sort of chaos ever since. Before that, states had the ability to regulate this. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government or the Supreme Court right now the ability to take that away from the states. And if Massachusetts wants to allow abortions, they can do it. If Texas wants to ban abortions, they should be able to do it. That's where this should stay. And then states can know with certainty how to regulate their own abortion.
The bungled Afghan withdrawal will have Secretary of State Anthony Blinken getting grilled. Dan Naraki reports.
Secretary of State Anthony Blinken will testify in front of Congress next week about the U.S.'s withdrawal from Afghanistan. Blinken is set to appear before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on September 14th, the first of what is expected to be a number of administration officials to appear before Congress to answer questions about the withdrawal and evacuation of American citizens and Afghan allies from the country. Committee Chairman Senator Robert Menendez has said in a statement that there were policy, execution, and intelligence failures associated with the withdrawal and its aftermath.
I'm Lance Bryan. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
I'm back with Sharon, and Sharon, you were talking about the getting the ground ready for next year. Did you have anything else to add on that?
No, I was going to let you continue, because you tell me what you do with your garden. You could even do it to your garden now if you have one, you know, but you
well,
can share your
you know, I use a lot of unconventional things. I look in my barn, which anybody that has a barn, you always have too much of unusual things. So I'm like you. I'll put my compost down. I'll take shredded newspaper, chopped up leaves. I'll take brown paper bags. Sometimes I'll put them, like, especially if I've got like a path going through, I'll put that down and then I might take, cut the cardboard and make a path, and then I'll put a couple bricks or paving stones on that just to hold it down. Now, parts of my garden are exposed, and the wind, sometimes when we get like really bad winds out here, it'll just pick up the cardboard. So what I had to do last year was I took the leaves and all the shredded newspaper or even newspaper, just lay it out, and I put the cardboard on top if I had big pieces, and then I had some old pieces of fencing, the lightweight fencing that you use for your split rail fence, and I put that down, and I used some of the anchors around the corners, and then I just laid like paver bricks, or I took big pieces of like old pieces of wood that were all warped or whatever I could come up with to anchor it down. And I even took a couple buckets that were pretty beat up, and I put water in them with a lid, and I set those on there because, I mean, I would look out and I would see everything flying away if I didn't anchor it down. And so last year, I think by doing the anchoring, I even used like some tarps, the pieces of tarps in some areas that I wanted that the compost and the leaves to break down. And that worked really well. It kept the leaves in there. I had a lot of earthworms, and all my stuff did well. I even packed like leaves all around and straw around my strawberry, and I couldn't obviously cover those with the tarp. But they did really well because I think they were protected and all the nutrients were there. But I had, there was a house in town I drove through one day last year, and it was wintertime, and it was a small house, and it was on a corner lot, but it was, there was a gardener there, and they had just a small lot. It couldn't have been the area that they worked with. It couldn't have been more than maybe 25 by 25, but the person, it was very ingenious. They took, they had, you could tell they had something underneath it, but they took some kind of hard, like plastic or that landscape fabric, and they laid it all down and they anchored it. And then they had old 5-gallon buckets that they put on each corner and in the middle. And they must have been preserving their garden and the soil too. And then the spring, I noticed that they had little hoop houses out there, and they had tomato cages and stakes. So if you live in a little town, or you live in an area, you don't need a real big area. That you can grow a lot, especially if you don't need a lot of space, like for tomatoes. Let's say take tomatoes out of the picture. There's a lot of things you can companion plant, and you can grow right next to one another. And when one dies, like when the peas die off, then the other can be planted next to it, or just, you know, enrich that soil. So I use a lot of unconventional things. I'm always scrounging around in the barn looking for something to weigh something down or to put something in. So I don't get rid of like fencing and chicken wire or anything like that, because I feel like I always find a use for it.
We tend to collect quite a bit of stuff like that too. Unfortunately, we have the land to be able to do it, so it's not in your face when it's there. You know, if you're going to grow a garden, you need a few equipment. Namely, you need hoses, because you probably don't want to hand water it. And you would want a shovel and a few hand tools. You want to get gloves, because unless your hands are hardened, you can cut your hands. And it's hard on your hands if you're not used to doing that kind of work. And ideally have a wheelbarrow or carts so you can haul stuff around. But, yeah, you want to bring a lot of worm activity in. You can grow a lot in a small place. You can research that online, but the idea of the square foot gardening, you don't have to actually measure it, but you can visually picture square foot gardening. We have raised beds, and I use kind of a lot of that square foot gardening companion planning together to get the most out of my beds. And you can do it on the ground too, though. You don't have to have a bed to do it in. You just basically figure out how things grow. And you can pick up the book, that square foot gardening book. You can pick it up usually at your library to read, and they, a lot of times you can find used. They're all over. They've been around for a long time. I probably own two of them myself because I didn't know where one was. But it's a really good way. I recommend people at least figure out an area they would want to do it, and ideally get it prepared for the winter by, you know, smothering it with some kind of leaves or whatever. Most places have leaves. We can go to town and get them, but like I said, our County has a place where they dump all those leaves, and you can go over there and just fill them up in the back of anything. You can put bags, or if you have a truck, it's really nice. You can do it. In our county, in the spring, if you show up at the right time, they'll take their big scoop and just dump it in the back of your pickup bed. You have to contact them, which we've done before, and I put that stuff all around my bushes and stuff around the house. I keep them away from directly against the house. I try not to grow bushes right next to the house, but I do like a hedge, and we don't have to deal with, like, when Ben's sit down there, we don't have to deal with snakes and stuff like that where we're at. So you kind of have to be aware of your surrounding, and our house does have metal siding, so it's a little safer, you know, for fire purposes. But, yeah, it's great. You know, ideally, I like the idea of putting compost on my bedding before fall, but I have to confess that I'm usually so burnt out and so busy with other stuff. My husband hunts, and we process the meat. And so often I do it in the spring with stuff that's composted down all winter, and then I till it. Well, I don't. My husband doesn't. He tills it into the ground. But it really is better if you can do it in the fall before spring. But you kind of flow with what you can get done. Also, we were discussing seeds, that it would be a really good idea to pick up whatever seeds you think you want to grow next year. And I would say the more seeds, the better. I order a lot of my seeds through a company called Pine Tree, and you can find them online. And they're much more economical, and I've had very good success with those seeds. So it's just an idea. But also, we were talking about how a lot of times stores are getting rid of this stuff now. Gardening's almost over. And so if you happen to pop into these various hardware stores, or I haven't seen anything like at Walmart, really. Walmart got cleaned out this year. But anyway, you can get things marked way down a lot of times. So you might be able to find some of your gardening equipment for a lot less money. Or the good old garage sales are really great for finding that stuff. Have you found other ideas?
Yeah, you were talking about going to the stores. Last year I was in one of the, I don't know exactly what store it was, but they had a gallon of the fish emulsion, a whole gallon. And I think it was marked down to like $11 or $12. And so I did look for some of the good, natural fertilizers. And you're right. You can go, one time I was at one of the stores. I think it was Costco like 2 years ago, and they had the nice gloves for women. They weren't man, you know, size for men's hands, but they were for women. And I think I got like a six pack for $10, but they were more heavy duty. They weren't the real thin ones, the fabric ones. These had like a little bit of leather on the tips of their fingers. So I don't need them, but I will use them. I'm constantly going through them, and I lose one. I put it in my pocket, or it drops off somewhere, and then I can't find it for a month. So, I would say look for supplies and maybe think about ordering your seeds in January or February to make sure that you have them. You can also let things go to seed, too. Now, some of it can be invasive, like dill. I actually have to go out and pull out most of my dill, but I left it because the monarchs like it, so I left it. But you can get your from your peas. Let your peas get hard and turn completely brown and get hard. And I reused my pea seeds. I didn't have to buy any this year, and I have a ton. So now I got those stored. Cilantro, you can save those. Your lettuce seeds, carrot seeds. There's just different things you can let go to seed and save it. I had some of my kale drop down. And I had new plants of kale this year that I didn't even have to plant any. So, get your seeds and get your equipment ready. And I just look at it as just try it. The worst that can happen is it doesn't grow. Some things I was always hesitant to grow. And I tried it, and I'm like, wow, this wasn't too bad. Or I really like this variety more than the other. But even if you don't do that many, just do a small patch of maybe five or six plants if you're not sure, you don't have a lot of room, and just see how they grow. I had cauliflower this year that got decimated by the worms, and so I just threw it all out. I couldn't keep track of it. They must have laid eggs in there because it was just horrible, so I pulled them all out. But I know if you have, they have a little thing, and I'm sure men could do it if they had the right kind of drill bit, but you can make a toad house where you take like an upside down pot or something, you know, and you make like a little opening like you would for a doghouse, like a little, so they can set in there. They like the moisture. And I actually had a lot of toads in my garden this year, but that's supposed to go after those worms, though, like those cabbage worms and the ones that like to eat all your kale and your broccoli and your cauliflower. So I scrounge around. I'm always looking when I go out to the stores or garage sales or if I can reuse things, try to draw in the natural insects. I was real happy this year. I saw more honeybees this year in my yard and in my with pollinating my strawberries and raspberries and my other plants than I ever have. So that made me real happy. I had a lot of praying mantises and walking sticks and honeybees around. So I know I got some natural predators out there. But there's, you know, there's a lot of things, too, that you can still work with this time of year. You can, you know, you still have onions in the ground and leeks and carrots and beets and your root vegetables. So I, if they're fine in the ground, I tend to leave those in until I need them and then they last a little longer. So I don't know. I leave my leeks in probably till early November. And then I bring them in and I put them in a, I get like a 5-gallon bucket. I leave a little dirt on the roots. I don't shake all the dirt off. And then I put just a tiny bit of water in the bottom, just barely enough to cover it. And I put my leeks in there, and then they grow. You know, I mean, they don't grow. I leave them in the garage, and I have leeks until February or March. So I don't know if you have any more to add to the root vegetable thing, Sharon.
Well, that's kind of cool because I tried growing leeks this year, so that'd be a good way to know how to what to do with them that way. You know, green beans, you can let them go to seed, too, and corn, you know, those things, mm-hmm. Yeah. Radishes go to seed. Good grief, they are prolific if you let them go to seed, and you can reuse them. I've done that before. And I used to have spinach take off by itself a lot because I'd let some of it bolt and go to seed. And I have dill all over that keeps popping up in my greenhouse because it is very prolific. It blows these little tiny seeds you don't even see, and then you have more dill. Like you said, you have to pull.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
Order today.
God, you're
take my
when you go
to the
for
2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Sharon, we were talking about preparing the garden for next year. And I always have a little area. I call it like my little hospital bed area for my plants. You know, sometimes you have a plant that's not doing too well, or somebody will give you starts of something, or you need to move something, but you don't have a spot for it. So I always have like a little area where I just keep that, those things. And most of the time, everything thrives that I put in there. So I just, if you have an area around your yard, it just helps when somebody will say, oh, I'll give you some raspberry canes, or, you know, I have some plants, and you just, it's too hot to transplant it or dig yours up and move them. I just mark them with stakes, and I use them, you know, I use that bed for other things. And it's, sometimes things take off, and then I'll get random seeds that something grows real nice in there from my compost. So anyway, that's something to think about. I wanted to mention before we get done for today, some of the things you might want to look for. I have not had very good luck finding canning lids at the stores. I've found some jars with the lids and the rings with them, but not just the lids by themselves. I've read that some of the people that get them online, whether it's Amazon or they're off-brand, some people say they're not that good. So I have never tried them, so I don't know. I bought as many as I could find last year, so I'll be set for a while. So if you can find them, especially, there might be some coming in at the end of the season. You can grab them for next year or even for this year. I am going to go to one of the wholesale places where you can buy, like, beauty supply stuff, like shampoo and conditioner. And the last time I was there, the lady told me that they had a shampoo that you could buy by the gallon that was very reasonable. Excuse me. And she said I could buy it by the gallon. And I think it was $11 for the whole gallon. And she said that that's what the hairstylist used. And it's good for, it's gentle on your hair. So I'm going to buy a gallon of that and a gallon of conditioner. I would think that that's probably going to go up in price. And I think tea, If you think of where we get our tea, we get a lot of tea from overseas. I think that might be something if you find it on sale. But there again, you can, if you grow mint or like lemongrass or lemon balm or chamomile, you can make your own tea. And spices are another thing. We get a lot of spices from overseas. And you might want to check your spices and stock up on those. And obviously meat. I was at the store, and they had an organic. It was, I don't even know that it was a whole pound. It was on a reduced, it was, I think it was like a small sirloin, but it was maybe 8 ounces. It was reduced for $12. I couldn't believe it when I saw the price, the sticker on it. It was $12, and I think it was 6 ounces. I was just like, wow. Now, I know that was organic, but if it went up, if it's going up that much, if you can store your meat. So I don't know if you have any other things, Sharon, to add, like that you've been trying to stock up. Oh, powdered milk has gone up real high, too. I looked at that. So I, fortunately, I have a few containers that I picked up through the summer.
You know, I like to look at this as being, it's empowering, okay? You're not a victim. You have a chance to make a difference in your life. And I think all these things are super helpful. And as far as growing, some people see it as drudgery. I find joy in watching little plants grow up, okay? And I think it's a very empowering and rewarding type of thing. And, yes, there's some work in it. But there are things you can do to minimize work, like using mulch around your plants so you don't have to weed so much and stuff. But there's something really neat at looking at your shelves with jars that you've put up, or looking in your freezer and you have these bags of great food, or, you know, even the containers that you put your dehydrated stuff in. It's just a very rewarding feeling. And a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people just waste a lot of time either looking at stuff on internet or watching movies and stuff. And I'm not saying that's bad in itself, but you can have a much more rewarding lifestyle by doing this stuff and preparing and being ahead. And then you will be a lot more comfortable off than sitting there, oh, man, how am I going to get dog food? Everybody's out dog food, and they want $30 instead of $20 or something, you know? It's preparing to make your life easier down the road. And everything we're talking about, whether things go higher or not, you're still going to save money right now if they stay the same. So you have nothing to lose but a lot to gain, don't you think?
Yeah, Sharon, we just have a few seconds, and I agree with you. I think it's very rewarding and very therapeutic, but I also feel more secure having my own things that I know I have. Anyway, Sharon, thank you for joining me and helping me out today. You gave me many good ideas. I was taking notes, so I appreciate it. Thanks, Sharon.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.